Hi guys, and welcome back to the PE podcast. I'm delighted to bring you an episode today with a very interesting individual, quite a challenging childhood, moved from the UK to South Africa, and only recently made a massive step to take the journey back to the UK and pursue his career into professional MMA. He's been an exceptional fighter in various combat sports, including taekwondo, judo, boxing, and kickboxing. He's going to give us a bit of an insight into growing up in South Africa, into why he came back to the UK, his plans for the future, and the advice he can give whilst reflecting on his personal experience. So, welcome, Tyrese. Can you give us a brief introduction to yourself? Tell us as much as you can, and then we'll move on with the podcast episode from there.
Yeah, man. So I was born in the UK, and I moved to South Africa at a young age, 3 years old. Moved there with my mom and my dad, and then went and I got to South Africa. My dad, you know, he's a little bit of a crazy person. He ended up stealing all of our money, and he ended up getting charged, and he got sent back to the UK. So then it was just my mom and I in South Africa. And yeah, growing up in that situation, you experience a lot, and just seeing the things around you, especially in that environment, teaches you a lot. And, you know, obviously just being my mom and I, we had no money growing up. You see very early on, you know, what you need to do to be successful. And I think seeing my mom work so hard, you know, working lots of jobs, just nonstop, she had a vision of where she wanted us to be. And I think that had a huge effect on how I see things in my own career and in my own life as well. And yeah, I think wouldn't have changed anything.
So what was school like in South Africa then? We have quite a... Sorry, I was talking about just before we started, we have quite a closed view on different areas and we see things on the news and assume everything's a certain way. But what was school like in South Africa? How did you enjoy it? What subjects did you enjoy and your experiences?
School in South Africa, it was pretty normal, actually. I mean, normal schools. I'd say the schools are better in South Africa than they are here. But ironically enough, yeah. So, yeah, I always had, you know, an all right time in school. I never really liked school too much. And also a big part of me getting into martial arts was also because I got picked on in school. So, I mean, that's just crazy to think that I originally started doing taekwondo. Obviously, before that, I was doing karate and judo at a young age from 5 years old. But yeah, self-defense was a big part of my decision in getting involved in combat sports. And yeah, I mean, it was okay in school. I never really fit in. I never really found my place. But I feel like as I got older, and especially when I started getting more into fighting, I feel like things changed in a big way.
So do you think coming from a single parent sort of household in South Africa, you're saying that you didn't have that much disposable income or money to spend and you got picked on at school and all those sort of things conspiring, do you think that's sort of that's affected your career in terms of, has that made you work hard? Has it made you realise things you take for granted? And you know, you're not going to get anywhere in life without hard work, regardless of the talent you've got. You see 100%. So many people waste it. How's that affected you then?
It just made me stay clear to what I wanted to do in life. You know, I knew straight away that maybe the academic route wasn't for me. And I also knew that that's a huge risk, a risk that I'm willing to take. But at the same time, I knew that you can't be half in, half out. You know, if you don't want to go down the academic route, you have to make sure that you're really good at the thing that you want to then go down into. So, yeah, I would say that it definitely inspired me to do better. And, yeah, it just made me a lot more hardworking, I felt, also than the people around me, because I feel like they had things to fall back on. You know, they could, as long as they studied and did what they had to do, you know, they were going to get the job that they wanted to. And, you know, their life was going to turn out the way that they wanted it to. But for me, you know, if I slack, if I take days off, you know, I get in a fight, you know, I'm going to get whooped. So, yeah, it definitely helped with my perspective of training hard, staying dedicated to what I wanted to do. And,
I really like that attitude towards life and just sport in general. So talking about sports, combat sports, what did you start with? What have you gone through? You're very good at lots of different combat sports. I've been through your Instagram. You're very quick. Yeah. Well, that's one thing I noticed. Yeah, very fast. What combat sport did you start with? Then where did you move to different disciplines almost? Could you tell us a little bit about that?
So I started with karate at the age of 5. And, you know, I was doing that for a little bit. I'd always come home with bloody noses. And, you know, I loved it straight away. Just as a kid in general, I always used to be really into fighting scenes in movies. And I just used to love combat sports since I can remember. So I started with karate. Then I went over into judo. And then from judo, I went into taekwondo, ended up winning a lot of provincial tournaments. Same thing with judo. So it was something that I was always kind of good at. And I wasn't good at any other sport growing up. I was always like D-team rugby, D-team soccer, you know, football here. And yeah, I was never really good at any sport except for combat sports. So then from judo, when around the same time that I was entering high school, I got into Muay Thai and kickboxing and boxing as well. And yeah, haven't looked back since.
What made you go into different disciplines? And in traditionally in English schools, we see so many students where they have one sport and it drives me mad. And you just think there's so much opportunity out there.
Yeah.
You play football because you think it's everything to you. But until you try different sports, different martial arts, rugby, cricket, basketball, whatever, you never know what you're actually very good at. There's a lot 100%. Of footballers, and there's a footballer who plays for the team that I support, but he started his career playing rugby till he was 16, didn't sign for an academy until he was 17. So he never knew much about football, strange in England, but he didn't really play it. And then he sort of landed on his feet. What about yourself then? What sort of advice would you give in terms of trying different sports? Your sports that you've mentioned are, they all apply to each other. The carryover is quite a lot in terms of combat sports, but how has that helped you in terms of your training? How has it helped you in terms of beating opponents? Does it help you having a different knowledge of different sports, different approaches? How has that helped you in your career so far?
I definitely think it's a really valuable thing to kind of branch out and see what you're good at. And, you know, I used to think I was good at rugby growing up until I did judo and until I did kickboxing. So it just goes to show how you can sometimes think you're really good at one thing, but until you try all the other things out there, you never know what you could be great at. So yeah, definitely, I think judo especially helped a lot in MMA. So did my taekwondo. I feel like that's originally where my speed came from, that explosivity of sport taekwondo. So yeah, 100%. I think that you definitely do have to diversify when you look into combat sports. And I think you definitely have to do just boxing. You definitely have to do just judo. I think it's very important to kind of specialize in these different martial arts if you want to get good at MMA in general. I think you can only get so far just training MMA. But yeah, I would say try and see what else you're good at. Try and branch out and get skills in different areas.
Love it. I love that advice. In terms of then MMA, you say you fought, was it for your province?
Yep. So my first ever MMA fight. What happened there?
Don't worry.
We good? Okay, cool. My first ever MMA fight was actually at Nationals. So I'd never competed in MMA at all before that point. So I was just a kickboxer and a boxer. And then one day my coach said to me, do you want to fight for your province? You know, do you want to fight the best guys in the country? And I said, of course I do. I mean, that's why I'm in the sport. You know, I want to fight the best guys. I don't want to duck anybody. I don't want to look for easy wins. So that's what I did. I had no grappling experience apart from my judo. But even then, my judo experience was minimal. So I ended up going to Nationals. It was the same day tournament as well. So I had my first fight. I ended up winning. Went the decision. It was a 3-round hard fight for me. And then in the semis, I ended up fighting a guy who was coming off a 1st-round win. And yeah, straight away, I realized that the striking, there was a huge difference. My striking was a lot better than his. But the grappling, he had the advantage. He ended up driving me up against the cage and winning by rear naked choke. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, you need to get your ass on the mats. You know, you're not training your jiu-jitsu. You're not training your wrestling. And yeah, that was a big wake-up call for me, you know, to start getting involved in my grappling and my wrestling and my jiu-jitsu. And since then, I basically won all my fights by 1st-round, 2nd-round submission. So yeah, huge, huge improvements there. I think definitely fighting the best guys with no experience, basically, was a big wake-up call to my own skill and to what I needed to improve as well.
I love that attitude because I think so many of us find what we're good at and then we just try and improve that. And because it makes us feel good, we watch videos back and we think, I'm really good at that. I'm really good at this. You put them on Instagram, you put them on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. And you highlight what you're really good at. But when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, if you come against somebody, like you say, really good with grappling, you'll get shown up, and you've obviously taken that to another level that you're now extremely good at grappling. And your striking's obviously still there, and that's elevated your game potentially far above where you were when you sort of started out with those national tournaments. I think you mentioned the other day the South Africa MMA team.
So because I ended up getting, I think it was bronze at nationals. You know, I was happy that I won the medal. I mean, for my first ever time competing MMA, but at the same time, bronze wasn't good enough for me. I got the bronze medal. I was kind of holding it, saying we got here, but I want the gold. So yeah, from that then I was training my grappling and I ended up winning titles and other promotions. And yeah.
What do you see then over here, the people that you're now, well, we'll come on to this in a moment, the people that you potentially will be training with very often. What do you think coming from South Africa and having that sort of grounding, not a difficult start, but a challenging start of life and, you know, all these ups and downs, what separates you from them? What separates you from the person who's had that easy childhood, had everything provided for him, easy life through gym, through school, and now he's training at your level? What separates you to be better than them?
I would say time. I'm lucky that I have time on my side. You know, I'm 20 years old, very new into this game. You know, in 5 years' time, I'm going to be 25 years old, still very new in this game. And just to think of the improvements I'll make in 5 years' time, you know, it's mind-blowing to see how far I've come already in this short space. But not only that, but, you know, I have nothing to fall back on. You know, this is it for me. This is the only thing that I have. A lot of people can kind of be half in, half out and say, okay, well, I've got all these things to fall back on. It doesn't matter. But to me, it matters. You know, this is it. This is all that I have. So I have to succeed in this thing. And this is what I love to do as well. You know, I would not do anything else in the world but this. And I've been bred to do this. You know, from the age of 5 years old, I've been in combat sports. So, yeah, I mean, the difference between me and I'd say somebody else who kind of has a silver spoon a little bit, I'd say I'm a fighting dog. You know, I've been bred to do this. And that's the difference between me and them, I'd say.
I love that attitude. I think there's a saying, and I might butcher it now, I might ruin it completely, but you need to be scared of the person with the least to lose.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Along those lines. But I love that attitude that, you know, you say you got nothing to fall back on. And it's hard, I think, for some people in some situations where potentially they're very wealthy and they come from an easy background to have that determination, that drive. And you see it in my favorite sport is football, but you see it in footballers now when they have those big contracts at 17, 18, 19, get a lot of money. And then in 4 years' time, you don't really see them again. And they sort of drift down the leagues because they've had it early on and they've got no hunger and no drive and no determination.
No hunger, the hunger disappears.
Yeah,
I think you see the hunger fall away a lot for these guys.
It's massive in everything. Go on, sorry.
Even in boxing, you see it all the time. These guys make a lot of money and they start to dip a little bit. I mean, even saw it with Conor McGregor as well. I mean, I still think he's amazing, but definitely think there's a little bit of a dip there. But then you get other guys like Conor Benn. You know, Conor Benn apparently grew up good childhood, everything. And then you see how hard that guy works and you realize that he's mentally, he's just the same as someone who has nothing. So I feel like that's also quite interesting to see when you see people that do have everything but still choose to live this life. And yeah, I find that also quite inspirational when you see guys do that.
Yeah, I think that comes from potentially a product of someone's environment. So you've had the authentic experience, but I think it comes from parents, really, or people who are looking after children, that if you are loaded and you make an easy life for your child, then they're not going to have that experience of having to fight for something and work for something. There's somebody who lives in a local area to where I teach, and he's a footballer, he's played for 10 years, played in the Premier League and all sorts, but he spoke a few months back that his son during lockdown broke his iPad and he smashed it because he was playing a game and he got frustrated. Yeah. And he said, well, my mom would have had to, you know, save up for a year, 18 months to buy an iPad. So you're not having one for 18 months. I'm not going to buy you one because you're never going to have that determination to work hard and not just rely on my money, really. So you moved to South Africa at 3 and then you've moved back. Why did you move back? Any challenges? What are the positives of it? Tell us that.
Moved back to fight full time. Yeah, so after winning the title in South Africa, I decided then that was it. I was going to move, put everything into this and have a few more years in the amateur scene and then turn pro. Obviously, with COVID and all of that, it's been a little bit of a sidetrack. But I've been training. If anything, my circle is now better than it was before. I mean, my MMA team in South Africa was phenomenal. You know, I was surrounded with really hardworking guys, humble guys. And, you know, ironically enough, my one training partner, Dan Shiomudli, he fights for Brave. When I moved here to South Africa, he was having a little bit of a beef with Jake Hadley in the UK. And Jake Hadley is really big in the UK scene. And I was training with a guy here in Leicester. He ended up moving into Jake Hadley's team. So I find that, you know, what are the odds of that? The guy that my training partner was kind of having a little bit of an issue with, I ended up training with one of his training partners now. So yeah, I definitely think it was a good choice moving here to the UK. I definitely think it has its pros and its cons. But I'm enjoying my time so far. You know, I'm enjoying the process, I'm enjoying the journey. And yeah, I'm surrounding myself with people that want it as bad as me. You know, I'm able to train in a good boxing gym. I'm training at Unity Boxing, with really some really top-notch boxers, world-class guys, I'd say. So my boxing has gone up levels above what it was, levels above. So it's kind of been a little bit frustrating not being able to showcase that, because I haven't been able to get a fight now for like almost a year. But at the same time, it's keeping me more dedicated, and it's making me more focused, because now when I do get a fight, I'll be able to showcase how much I've improved.
What is your training schedule like then? Now, obviously, you've had setbacks, and it's not going to be the same as when you're in South Africa because of COVID and restrictions. But for somebody who wants to get involved in combat sports or just in general improve their fitness, and I always say combat sports when I'm a PE teacher myself, and I always say that's probably the pinnacle of fitness in terms of it's everything, it's power, speed, endurance, agility, balance, coordination, it's everything combined. Whereas
Everything.
sports like football, it's speed and maybe a cardiovascular endurance, and then rugby, it's more strength and power. But boxing, MMA, judo, taekwondo, karate, it's everything, because you need to
Yeah,
be, you can't
you need to
have,
be
you have
have
to have a full
everything.
circle of all those skills.
Exactly.
How do you train with those restrictions then? And what sort of advice could you give to students listening who want to get involved in that sort of training but are currently sort of held back by the restrictions?
I'd say everything that you have, you know, everything that's surrounded you, that's all you need. You know, as long as you have a little bit of a space to do your shadow boxing and to do your strength and conditioning or whatever you need to do, that's all you need. People think that I need a gym, I need a this, I need a that in order to be successful. And you decide how successful you are. You decide how far you go. As long as you're dedicated, consistent, and you believe in the vision, and you visualize every single day where you want to be and where your life will turn out if you stay hungry and stay consistent, then I feel like that's all you need. You know, as long as you're working hard and you believe in yourself, you know, you believe in where you're gonna go if you stay on the route that you are on. So yeah, I'll say for anybody who's looking into getting into MMA or just overall wants to keep their fitness up, I'd say you got to work hard. That is the most important thing. You got to work hard and you got to be consistent. You know, if even if it's just doing something small every single day, at least you're doing something. So yeah, even with all the COVID restrictions and not being able to train at the gym and spa and do pads, you know, I'm doing virtual pads, and I Google virtual pads on YouTube, and I do it for hours and hours and hours. And you know, you just gotta stay consistent. You gotta know what you have and maximize it to your full potential.
I love that attitude. And just talking to you now for this 20 minutes or whatever we've been doing this for, you strike me as somebody who knows what hard work is. Whereas I think some of
Thank
our
you.
students who haven't quite pushed themselves, they think they know what hard work is and they're a little bit sweaty and
100%,
tired and they ache. But you don't know what it is
yeah,
until you've experienced it, until you've really pushed yourself.
exactly.
I love those words that you've just said in terms of your dedication and commitment. What makes you different then from people you fought against, people you're fighting now, in terms of your attitude and your behavior? So when you come to England and you've gone into a new scene and you're meeting new people, how do you make those positive links straight away? Because we have at school, we talk about it quite a lot in terms of in our form time lessons, that just being good at something isn't enough. Just
Yeah,
being
100%.
dedicated isn't enough, but you've got
Exactly.
to make those sort of connections. So, in terms of your attitude, behavior, manners, the way you conduct yourself, how have you achieved that since coming over to make your circle and make these friendships?
I would say it definitely comes down to your attitude and how you go about your business. You know, if you got the wrong attitude, if you're lazy, you don't want to work hard, but you like the idea of being a fighter, So you market yourself as a fighter, but you don't actually want it as bad as everyone around you, and not doing the things that you need to do to get to that position. I feel like people pick that up straight away. People notice that as soon as you meet them, you know, people recognize someone that's hardworking, someone that wants it just as bad as they want it themselves. And they want to train with those people. They want those type of people in their circle. So I feel like as long as you put the right energy out there, I feel like you'll attract the right responses. And that's exactly what I did when I came here. I just let people know that, you know, I'm hardworking. I'm here. This is it for me. This is my dream. This is all I want to do. So I want to surround myself with people that think the same. And yeah, people know straight away that it's real. You know, you recognize in someone else when, if you're dedicated, you recognize that dedication within someone else as well. And especially when these guys are much better than you at in their sports. You know, I'm an MMA fighter, kickboxer, not really a boxer, but my hands are my best thing of my MMA. So when you're training with boxers that are much better than you in their sports, and they outclassing you a little bit, but you still show up every single day just as determined, you know, you don't quit, straight away they're going to respect that, and they're going to want to train with you more, and they're going to look out for you as well. You know, if they see opportunities for you, they're going to want you to do well, you know, and they're going to make those opportunities available to you.
I love that attitude. And we talk a lot at school about this. And I think it comes across as quite a novel thing in terms of first impression, and people go, oh yeah, first impression, but it's huge.
Huge. Yeah.
You don't even have to talk to somebody to notice or get a first impression. Yeah. You can look at somebody from a distance and know.
100%,
you can sort of sense it, as you were saying, you pick up on it really quickly. What are your plans for the future then? Lockdown's coming to an end, hopefully. Very soon, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel. What are your plan for the next 12 months?
Well, or straight away already, I'm looking for pro kickboxing fights. So I've been looking for organizations when they open up. I mean, ideally, I'd have four more fights in amateurs, whether that's MMA or boxing. But yeah, I want to turn pro in the next few years. Yeah, maybe 22, 21, I want to be turning pro. So I want to do as much as I can right now, get as much as I can in terms of fights as well. And yeah, I really want to turn pro. So that's the goal. That's the vision. And yeah, I would say my step going forward would be to just keep doing what I'm doing now. As long as I stay on this track, I feel like I'll get everything that I want in the end. And yeah, I just need to stay consistent with what I'm doing.
I'm looking forward to seeing that, and I'm going to keep an eye on it. Keep you linked on Instagram and see
the
next sort of 24 months. Final thing, advice. So what advice would you give to our students? Well, I've heard you now speak about coming from difficult childhood, getting picked on, issues within your family, and then fighting through that, then moving back to England and potentially leaving friends and family and your previous circle of trainers and coaches behind. Mm-hmm. You're somebody who isn't going to sit back and just shrug your shoulders and go, oh, tough, it's happened to me. I'll just keep going. But you're somebody who's got very proactive, who's taken those steps to better yourself, better your training, better your life, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
What are your advice for our students in terms of that? A student who may be struggling a little bit with mental health, somebody who's struggling with family issues, somebody who's struggling potentially, maybe they're not coming from a wealthy family and they feel a little bit held back by that. What advice could you give to them?
My advice to those people, I'd say invest in the things that money can't buy. You know, invest in yourself, invest in your character. And if you develop those type of skills, you're going to be miles ahead of everyone around you if they're not working on those characteristics, or, you know, if they're not trying to improve themselves, but you are already, you're miles ahead of them, no matter what circumstances they have or they've come from, or how much money they have, or, you know, who their parents are, who they are, what family they come from. You know, if you put more effort and work into yourself than they are, you're going to do better than them in the long run. So yeah, my advice to those people would be to just invest in yourself, you know, and give yourself the skills that are going to put you ahead of everyone else. And that's just not just physically, not just in terms of, you know, you can run faster, you're more explosive, but mentally, you know, make sure that you're always five steps ahead of everyone around you mentally. And as long as you make sure that you're five steps ahead of everyone else, you know, no one's going to be catching up to you. So yeah, that would be my advice to people that maybe, you know, feel like they don't have enough.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. That advice is brilliant.
You too, man. You too.
You come across very, very well. And I hope that our students listening to this can take little snippets here and there and apply it to themselves. So yeah, it's been a pleasure, Tyrese, to have this.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the time, man. Thank you for the time. Yeah.
Right then, guys, that was a really interesting insight into Tyrese's life, into his childhood growing up in South Africa, into how much he's had to sacrifice to chase that professional career in MMA. He's quite clearly a very talented combat sports athlete, but he's also very humble, he's very driven, he's very dedicated, and he's willing to sacrifice things to get to where he wants to be, which is ultimately the best fighter he could be. Next week's episode will be with Ali Jawad, a Paralympic athlete who has bench pressed over 195 kilograms, which is incredible, mind blowing. So hope you look forward to that one, and I'll see you all for the next episode.